Welcome back, freaks. We are so back. We are so back. We have a lot to go over today because I actually took notes this time about stuff that I want to, fill the void with, talk into a void to myself while I look at myself on a computer camera. Yeah, so here we go. First thing, first order of business is the fact that, tell me why the algorithm, my algorithm that I have built brick by brick, is serving me car crash content. Is it because something's wrong that I am not clued into yet? Is it because I watch every single one I see in full? That's probably why. When I'm deep in the K-hole of scrolling, this is what it gets to. It's cop body cam footage and car crash footage. Let's unpack this. What synapses are misfiring in my brain that I watch car crash videos? I can't be alone here. I mean, I think that there's a morbid fascination. Maybe it's tied to the reason why I love true crime. I don't know. But I saw one the other day that was extra long. It was like a car chase. And this white pickup truck, because it's always going to be a white pickup truck. This white pickup truck was just flattening people. I mean, they were going down the wrong side of the road and just crashing into everyone. And they just kept getting away. Like, how is the car still going? I don't know, but I had to find out. And finally, the car crashes into the front of a store. And the guy gets out of the driver's side and just walks away. Not run. He's not running. He just gets out, like he arrived at his destination, and just casually walked away. There's footage of him just getting out and like just walking down the street. Like, whoop, I'm here. This is my parking spot. What? And I audibly was reacting to this video. And my husband was like, what? Because I said, oh my gosh, because I can't, I'm not a silent watcher. I wish I was. I wish I could watch a movie in complete silence or a video in complete silence and not audibly react, but I can't. It just has to come out. And I said, oh my gosh. And he was like, what? And I was like, I just looked at him sideways and I was like, I'm just watching a car chase. And he was like, oh my God. Just rolled his eyes. Anyway, probably now that I'm talking about it, my phone can hear me and is going to serve me more car crash videos and car chase videos. And I honestly don't know how to feel about it. It feels wrong to watch it. It feels truly like the rot of the internet. But here I am watching every single one I see, all the way through till the end, looking at the comments. Help me. Something needs to be healed in that part of my brain. Next thing I want to talk about, moving swiftly along, other things that are being forced on me and the entire world is Disney's Snow White. Hey, stop. No one wants to see it. Okay? It failed before it even started. I have never seen so many commercials for a new Disney movie in my life. In my entire 31 years. I am getting served this trailer every single time there is a commercial on our Disney Plus app. I do not want to see Rachel Ziegler, whatever her name is. She pisses me off. I'll tell you what, there is a video I saw of her on the red carpet that just had me cackling. The way that she moves her face for the cameras. Oh, girl, don't piss me off. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, my God. Oh! So annoying. So annoying. And she is so problematic. Just some of the stuff that she said, and she's so bad at PR. I can't believe how bad she is at PR. It's so funny. So funny to me. What a crash and burn this is. And I really cannot stomach another trailer. You will not be getting my money to see that movie, no matter how hard you push it, Disney. I'm so sorry. You will not get me to watch it. I will never, ever watch it. It looks so bad. It looks so bad. I keep seeing these memes going around of, really? We're meant to believe that Gal Gadot is the evil queen who is jealous of Rachel Ziegler, which is great. She's beautiful. But Gal Gadot is a supermodel. She is like, she's Wonder Woman, okay? She was picked as Wonder Woman because she has godly good looks. All right? Just think about that. We're supposed to believe that Gal Gadot is jealous of Lord Farquaad. That's what you're trying to make us believe? Not buying it. Sorry. Can't buy it. Anyway, please join my cause. Sign my petition for boycotting this movie. I can't see another commercial. Okay, another thing that I want to talk about. Another thing I want to talk about is my 2-year-old's sick obsession with watching me eat boiled eggs. Okay, let's backtrack for a second. First of all, let that sink in, that phrase. Let's backtrack. If you have little kids, there is a high likelihood that they are relatively picky about what they eat. If you don't have a picky kid, God bless you. You're living the dream. But both my kids are picky in their own way. My 5-year-old is much more adventurous. He really likes vegetables. He genuinely does. And we just recently this year have gotten him to eat saucy things. He likes everything in its purest form, or he has in the past. But this year he really got into like saucy stuff, which is very exciting. But he has his own, you know, quirks. He will not eat cheese. The child does not like dairy in any way, shape, or form. The only way I can get him to eat cheese is if it is stuck between 2 tortillas. And even then, sometimes he will reject it. About 50% of the time. Won't eat cheese. He won't eat dairy. Before I get back to the boiled egg thing. He hates cheese so much that he will go into the other room if me or my husband is eating something with even a remotely smelly cheese, like Parmesan on top of a salad. He will plug his nose, he will complain, and he will skulk off to the dining room. He has to be an entire room away from the cheese smell. That's how offensive it is to him. And the other day, we had like sliced sandwich slices of sharp cheddar. Aren't even stinky, but he hates the smell of it. He is so deeply offended by the smell and the idea of cheese that my husband was kind of teasing him. And I said, take it easy. Take it easy, man. Take it easy. This kid's crazy when it comes to, you know, textures and smells and stuff. He could lose it. And my husband was teasing him. He was like, you want this piece of cheese? He was holding it out to him. He was like, no, absolutely not. Kind of laughing. Hee hee hee. And then my husband takes it. Took it just a step too far because we thought we were all having a good time. Took it a step too far and slapped the slice of cheese on my son's bare back, and he let out this blood-curdling scream and started crying. It was actually quite sad. He was so traumatized by being touched, by being slapped on the back by the piece of cheese. It took probably 10 minutes to calm him down. He was so traumatized and offended. And it was one of those situations where my husband and I had to just cover our mouths and laugh silently so he couldn't see that we were laughing. Because it was actually quite sad the way that he responded. But the idea and the whole concept was just so funny. Anyway, so my two-year-old is even pickier than my five-year-old. She literally eats white rice, chicken, grilled chicken, chicken nuggets, black beans, a myriad of fruits, but not all of them. The only raw vegetables she will eat are celery, cucumber, and carrots. She will not eat a cooked vegetable if her life depended on it. But she has this sick obsession. It's probably similar to my sick obsession with watching car crash videos. It's like this morbid fascination with watching me eat boiled eggs. My husband and I eat a lot of boiled eggs. Love it. Love a boiled egg. Boiled egg bitch. So we have a lot of boiled eggs. I eat one like once a day. And every time I pull one out and she's around, she's like, can I watch you put the sauce on the egg and eat the white egg? Because often I will like put, you know, some sort of sauce on it because it's yummy. And then she watches me and she goes, ew, can I see the inside? Ew. I'm like, girl, what? What the hell is this? Am I a freak show to you? Are you not entertained? It's like she's at a circus or something. It makes me feel weird every single time. But yeah, that's where she's at with food right now. So we eat a lot of boiled eggs. Speaking of that, trying to get more protein into my diet, obviously, as is the rest of the human race, because the internet is telling us we need to. I do actually eat a lot of protein, but I made the other day, I made those cottage cheese bagels. Also love cottage cheese. Love it. Will never stop loving it. You can't make me. I made these cottage cheese bagels where you just like blend up a cup of cottage cheese and then it's just flour and baking soda and salt. And then I formed it into a bagel and I put sesame seeds on top. So good. And so easy and so fast to make. I was just shocked. I will absolutely be making them again. The recipe I did only made 4, but I was like shocked by how good and how poofy and the texture was not weird or gummy or anything. Very good. I ate all 4 of them over the course of probably 5 days. So that was a great discovery, and I'll definitely be making those again. Along the lines of things that the internet is telling me to do. Ooh, can you hear that thunder? There's a thunderstorm going on right now. Along the lines of things that the internet has convinced me I need, I am fully, like my need every day is growing stronger for an ice machine. We do not have a classic, well, we do, but the ice machine doesn't work. We actually have these drawer fridges in our kitchen. So they're like under the counter, you know, drawer pull fridges and freezer. And so we just have like an ice tray that I never fill. I never fill it. But I love ice and I love cold drinks. I like my drinks to not be lukewarm. You can argue all day that, you know, I mean, I get it if your teeth are sensitive, whatever, but a drink is always going to taste better cold. Like if it's water, if it's soda, if it's tea, if it's supposed to be a cold drink and not a hot drink, it tastes better over ice. Honestly, fight me. I will die on that hill. Anyway, so I am dreaming about getting like, it doesn't even necessarily have to be pebble ice. I don't really care. I would love for it to not be like those, you know, those classic, like orange wedge shaped ice cubes. Those are the only ones that I'm like, I'm not crazy about those. Really waters down the whole situation. But I would love an ice machine. Oh my God. That would be so amazing to just come downstairs, do my coffee routine, scoop a bunch of ice into a glass and do my first first drink of water of the day with maybe electrolytes. Oh, nom, 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 nom. So good. But I told my husband, if we decide to have another kid, I am going to need to buy an ice machine for when I'm pregnant. I will require that. That will be required. That will be a tax write-off, essentially, for me to survive pregnancy. I must have an ice machine. So I don't know if that's ever going to happen, because I don't know if we're going to have another kid. But that is a conversation for another podcast episode. Yeah, thinking about ice. Oof. Mm. I would love to get one and then eventually get an espresso machine. Could be a Nespresso machine. I wouldn't mind that. And that would be great. You know those items that you kind of dream about? You're like, if I just had this, I feel like my life would really be complete. I wouldn't really need anything else. I have a couple of those. Yeah. A different washer and dryer situation. Ours are, the doors open into each other, so moving the wet laundry to the dryer is just a crime. It is a crime. It is so inconvenient. I will say I'm grateful that we have a working washer and dryer, because in the past at our old house, we had to replace the dryer like 3 different times. So I'm grateful that we have front loaders even to begin with. Although I'm like, I don't know. Do front loading washing machines really work better than top loading ones? I'm not sure. I think the jury is out on that one. I know for a fact that they get grosser, the front loading ones, for sure. Just like with mold and stuff like that. I think a top loader, let's just go back. Let's just, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I think a top loader is a great option. It gets the clothes so clean. There is not really any concern about mold. But yes, I will say, very grateful for 2 working laundry machines. But holy balls, if they could be stacked, oh my God, that would be so amazing. That would make my life so great. That would really improve my life by about, I don't know, 75% at least. Yeah. Okay, hard shift, because I want to talk about this. I've said this in past episodes, but I am relatively active on Substack, and I love scrolling through Substack and reading long-form pieces. That's something that's bringing me a lot of like peace and joy and kind of getting me out of the spiral of scrolling on Instagram. And I love writing. So it's a great place. It's honestly a great community. But I'll say this. I don't know if it's just my algorithm on Substack, but it certainly feels like the new Tumblr, or like, I don't know if Tumblr has gone away. I haven't been on Tumblr since high school, but it certainly feels like all of the women my age, and even women in their 20s, there's so much like Gen Z 20s content on Substack right now. So many writers, which is amazing. I love that. But it certainly has the like manic pixie daydream, Kate Moss obsessed, you know, misunderstood book reading girl trope is very present in the feed that I'm scrolling. And I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, it definitely makes me feel old, for sure, because it makes me reflect on the time that I was trying to be that person. And then I think about how long ago that was. Literally, like when I was, well, I was using Tumblr when I was up till like sophomore year of college, but I was never, I don't know if I would ever categorize myself as like a true diehard Tumblr girl. I wasn't, I was mostly just a, like a, I took in content. I didn't put out a lot of content. Tumblr is also kind of a scary place, to be honest. It can get dark. But Substack is like Tumblr without all the darkness. So anyway, I don't really know how to feel yet about the patterns that I'm seeing on Substack and the sort of redundancy of the type of content that is being served to me. But yeah, I am getting slightly, lightly, teensy weensy bit annoyed by it because I'm just not seeing a lot of variation. And maybe that's my fault. Maybe I need to like seek out smaller writers, subscribe to smaller publications. I don't know. I'm still figuring out Substack. But God, I feel like I've read the same, or at least skimmed the same essay about how to live life in your 20s and how to, I'm not even in my 20s, but this is the stuff that's served to me. This is the reason you're depressed, because you're on your phone all the time. Bitch, we know. We know. I know that. I already know. Okay. Well, I've read some good stuff too from because a lot of women in Gen Z generation are kind of like peeling back the layers of the onion, the onions of life. And there's a lot of good commentary too. Like, you know, like 2019, 2020, during leading up into and during pandemic times is when I feel like book talk really took off. And there's just so many cheerleaders for smut and stuff like that, which is fine. You know what? Read whatever you want. You're an adult. But I'm seeing a lot of Gen Z women analyzing why that sort of subgenre is not serving them, which is really interesting to read about. Because I think I agree. I don't know. I still read like romance novels and stuff like that, but I think it can get a little all-consuming and create a barrier for young women between reality of romantic relationships and what they're reading about, you know, like imaginary romantic relationships. And I just sometimes I think to myself when I read romance novels, I'm like, I have these intrusive thoughts where I'm like, what if she farted right now? Like, what if he farted right now? That would be nuts. That would take us right out of the moment. This would cease to be the scene that, you know, the author wants. And I understand, you know, you read books to escape a lot of times. And again, I'm not shaming romance novels. I'm not even, you know, I'm not even saying I don't agree with smut. Read what you want to read. But I do have those intrusive thoughts when I read romance. I'm just like thinking about, you know, the comfortability that I have with my own relationship and thinking about how we still have intimacy and still find each other sexy despite all the weird, gross shit we do, like objectively gross shit. Human things, you know. But that's obviously not going to be featured in a romance novel. But I do like thinking about that when I'm reading them. Just, you know, like, what if he came out of the bathroom and it just smelled like he took a big shit? What if she has to go poop? What if you have to go poop while, you know, you're getting into it, while it's getting hot and heavy? What happens then? What happens? Does the moment cease? Anyway, that's probably, that part of my brain is probably adjacent to the part of my brain that, you know, watches car crash videos. Yeah, so interesting. It'll probably be a further conversation as I analyze and decide how I feel about what Substack is and what I'm being served on there. But yeah, okay. So the next thing I want to talk about is going back to the gym. I haven't been to the gym. Well, I just went on Monday for the first time in, holy crap, I don't know, 4 months. Yeah, it didn't suck. I didn't put too much pressure on myself to do the thing that I've previously talked about, which is like go until I feel like I have to throw up or until I'm tasting blood, which is my natural inclination. I was just like, you know what? Just ease yourself in. Try and walk on the Stairmaster for 15 minutes and then go for a high incline walk on the treadmill. And I even did like a little bit of leg weightlifting, whatever, the hip abductor machine, which I almost always do. I don't know why, but it feels productive and it's not that hard for me. Yeah. Leg days never really feel too difficult for me, I think, because I have most of my strength in my lower half. But cardio and like arms and core, arms are okay. But cardio and core, holy shit, bro. It's so hard. It's so hard to gain and maintain endurance for me. And my core just doesn't have a lot of strength. I've had 2 kids. It's never been something that is a place, an area of my body that I've been super strong in. So I was like, definitely not doing that. So I just did like 3 little things, tried not to pressure myself, and it was good. I sweat a little bit. It was great. I was very proud of myself. But I'm trying to get it back into my weekly routine, going at least twice a week. Doesn't have to be on the same days. I can't do that right now. But yeah. And I was thinking while I was there, and I've been thinking this for a while because obviously at a woman my age who does consume fitness content and I really like fitness, I like going to the gym, I like lifting weights and stuff like that. So all of that being known about me by, you know, the internet gods, I get served a lot of that stuff. And the trend right now in terms of body image, although it's changing a little bit, it used to be really like Kardashian adjacent, like big boobs, big butt, you know, super curvy, sort of the BBL look. And now it's changing, I think, back to super skinny, Kate Moss. All these celebrities are getting on Ozempic. I think it's changing a little bit, but all that being said, I don't think that the fitness communities are necessarily adopting that, which I like. But what is popular in the fitness community in terms of like ideal body image, I don't want that either. I think about when I watch these videos and I see these super beautiful, strong women, I'm like, great, I would love to be strong. Honestly, that's my only goal is, you know, to be able to carry my children up and down the 2 flights of stairs in our house without almost dying. That would be great. But I see these women that are super, super strong and there's this trend of like building your glutes. And I just see that. And as a person who is already relatively pear-shaped, I'm like, I would never be able to fit into any pants if I focused on building a butt that you could bounce a quarter off of. I would not be able to fit into any pants. It would look wild on me. And I want to be able to wear certain things. But if I had like a built booty, I just simply would not be able to do that. And so I'm like rejecting that idea. I don't think it's bad. I just think it's not for me. And then I got thinking, I think that the further I get into my 30s, the more okay I am looking like a woman from a Renaissance painting. It's maybe like a little bit self-indulgent for me to say. Like, I'm a work of art. But seriously, the way that my body looks is very similar to the way that women were portrayed, their shape in that time period of art. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm okay with it. I think I'm okay. I would like to be stronger and not be dying of syphilis or the plague, for sure. I don't want to do either of those things. But I think I'm entering into a time of my life where, I don't know, maybe my body dysmorphia is going away. Maybe this is just aging. I don't know. I don't have all the answers, you guys. I know that you want me to, but I don't have them. So I'm sorry. I don't know. But I am feeling more okay with the natural shape of my body and then just focusing on getting stronger and honestly building up my endurance. I would love to run again. I would love to be able to play indoor soccer without passing out, calling 911. That would be fantastic. That's honestly a huge goal, to be able to really hang for more than 3 minutes of sprinting. So that's what I've been marinating on. In a similar vein of like learning to love yourself and relearning how to love yourself and how you feel beautiful as you age, I've also been kind of having to relearn how to do my makeup. I've been doing my makeup the same for a decade, but I realized a couple months ago, well, maybe more than that, maybe a year ago, kind of 29 was when I started noticing how my face was changing and how if I want to achieve a certain look with my makeup, I can't do it the same anymore. Like, I can't put the blush in the same place or the bronzer in the same place because things are moving downward. Gravity is doing its work. So I have to change it. And that's crazy. And I just never really thought that I would have to change anything. It's still basically the same, but it's the placement of things because things are going down. They're going down. They're moving downward. So that has been an interesting learning curve, and just dressing myself in a way that makes me feel joyful, makes me feel comfortable. It's so funny. For so many years, I was not bothered by tight things around my stomach. And now I am certainly one of those people that I cannot wear jeans for more than, I don't know, 6 hours. Maybe that's a long time for a lot of people, but and even the jeans, I would rather they weren't tight around my stomach. I need baggy stuff, which is great because that's super in right now. And for the longest time, I didn't think I looked good in baggy things because of the shape the shape of my body. I was just like, I just look frumpy. Now I don't give a shit. I don't care if I look frumpy. If it's comfortable, I'm gonna wear it. Okay? Big baggy t-shirts with baggy pants. Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. I do not care if I look like I just got released from, you know, 5 years in prison, and that's what I went to prison wearing. I do not care if I look like I just got, you know, discharged from the hospital. I really don't. If I'm comfortable and I feel cute and you, that's all I really need. That's gonna do it for me. Okay, before I go, let's do a new little segment where I tell you my favorite song of the week. Hee hee. Are you ready? I made a whole playlist on my Spotify called Rainy. And I put a bunch of rainy day songs on there. But this song was the first one I put on there. It's called Spitting Off the Edge of the World by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs featuring Perfume Genius, both of whom I love. I love them. It's a great song. Go look it up. Listen to it on a rainy day. Put your headphones on. Block out the world. Pretend you're in a movie. That's what I do. Okay, signing off. I'll see you again soon. Love you. Okay, bye.